you know, it's like then someone knows you're training her and then you get the intros. And that's how I met like Maddie Ziegler, Olivia Rodrigo, Hailey Bieber. I have a set army of girls that I train.
Hey everyone, welcome to Shopify Masters. I'm your host, Shuang Esser-Shan, and this is your companion for starting and scaling a business. In the protein industry, flooded with false promises and mystery ingredients, one woman is on a mission to fix all of that. Kirsty Gotso isn't just a celebrity trainer, she's the visionary who's exposing what we really put into our bodies. With her brand Made Of, Kirsty offers premium whey protein powder sourced out of New Zealand. Her brand has reached far beyond her own following and celebrity clientele that she trains, from Kaia Gerber, Olivia Rodrigo, and Maddie Ziegler, just to name a few. And she's here to chat all about fitness and entrepreneurship. Kirsty, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I'm such a huge Shopify fan, so this is like really a dream.
So happy to have you here, Kirsty. You have always had this passion for fitness, and you have had an incredible journey working with Nike, launching your own app, and training these celebrities. Talk to us about how it all started and how you build up your clientele.
Well, thank you so much. It's been, I know I feel young, but it's been like a long journey. So I started out working in fitness in New Zealand. I actually graduated with a double business degree first and then sort of took a bit of a jump in the other direction. And just to set the landscape, fitness was very not cool at the time. But I grew up in New Zealand, which is a very, very fit population and country in general. And so I was going to the gym a lot, but I didn't really love what I saw in the gym. I didn't love like the nature of, you know, transactional language before and after. It was very bodybuilder dance at the time. And so I actually got my first start in fitness DVDs. And it was pioneering a high intensity program that was science backed. It was one of the first high intensity programs really of its like at the time that was really geared towards everyday people. A lot of programming was geared towards athletes. And I myself, once I'd tried, you know, my first few high intensity classes, after thinking it was a near-death experience at first, I was like, wow, this is incredibly transformative, both physically and mentally. And so that was how I got on board with it. But it was never really my goal to be a front-facing trainer. I kind of thought that I would just be, I was more the marketing behind it. And I thought I was going to be a stand-in for X amount of time until we found the right person to be the lead of this program. And it sort of, my career took off in a way I didn't expect. And here I am like 14, 15 years later, still being a trainer. So I did start in group training through those fitness DVDs. Then I extended into doing personal training. I still do a lot of group training. And I signed with Nike nearly 14 years ago. So very early on. Yeah. So it's been a fun journey. And I kind of still feel like I haven't hit my peak yet, which I think is exciting.
I mean, just being a trainer who is featured and signed by Nike, that's someone's life goal. But I think that was just your beginning. And it also brought you into the States and opened a lot of other doors for you. How were you able to build up your clientele?
Well, I was definitely very fortunate. I was traveling to the States so much for both Nike, as well as I used to train a couple of the Victoria's Secret models when I still lived in New Zealand. So I would come over closer towards the timing of the show or around Fashion Week and spend time with them, living with them in New York. And then by the time I did actually move to America in 2016 and lived in New York for 5 years, now I'm in LA, I think, you know, it was amazing to already sort of know the landscape a little bit and have some friends in fitness. But then in New York, you know, you just meet people. You meet people at the coffee shop. You meet them out and about. You meet them at a bar. You meet them at a concert. And so it was kind of easy. My work husband and I, we used to train a lot of the Victoria's Secret girls, and we used to train a lot of press and a lot of sort of people of influence, I would say, versus influencers for Nike. And then when I moved to LA, you know, LA is a different beast. It's just, you know, it is kind of celebrity central. There's a lot of different talent here. And I actually met my first major client, Kaia Gerber, who's one of my best friends, in a Pilates class. And then that kind of just steamrolled, you know, it's like then someone knows you're training her and then you get the intros. And that's how I met like Maddie Ziegler, Olivia Rodrigo, Hailey Bieber, all these girls. And, you know, I have a set army of girls that I train. There's really 8 girls that I'm always with, and I adore them. And I love, like, they have similar careers, but still very different things to focus on within it. So I'm always busy. And I like to think we're always having a good time.
Yeah. And working out fitness, it is quite a vulnerable state that you have to be in, especially for someone who is so high profile. The fact that these incredible women trust you to be a part of their life, a part of their routine, what is your advice there to build trust and build relationship, which is so key to any business, right?
Oh, huge. I think, you know, trust and confidence is like truly unmatched with a product or with a person. And I think sadly, it's not that common these days. So, you know, I am from New Zealand. We don't really have celebrities aside from like Lord and our rugby team. I actually do train Lord sometimes. I used to train her when she was like 16. And now I have her train with one of my really good friends in New York. And but so we have a kind of a different mindset around celebrity in general. The biggest thing for me is I treat them as people. I treat them on first name basis as the person that they are, not the person of interest to everyone else. Because at the end of the day, like, that's who they are to me. It's like you're going through the day to day, you're working through their goals. Yes, you're aware that there is a huge presence and pressure on them. But I think the best thing you can do is just honor them as the person that they are behind everything else and be there for that person and show up for them. And I think it's like about not having an agenda. Like, I'm truly just there to get the job done. I'm about the work. And everyone always says, you know, if I had all your clients, I'd post them all the time. And I said, well, then you'd never have my clients, because there is an element of privacy. And I think it's just respect. Like, these people get violated all the time with their privacy. And as you said, that, you know, fitness and trusting someone with your body is very personal. So I like to say I put the personal in personal training, and I mostly keep it personal.
I love that philosophy and that phrasing so much. So yeah, like you said, you're saying that, you know, you've not reached your peak. The first summit, getting that Nike deal, already incredible. Second summit, having these beautiful women that trust you and are part of your clientele. And then you also notice this gap within the protein powder market. What were you trying to create that you didn't see anywhere else?
So when I moved to America in 2016, you know, prior to that, I was traveling the world for Nike. I was going everywhere, and I was spending time in a lot of different countries and amazing places, but not always the easiest for me to find the food that I wanted, because I'm celiac. So I was born celiac. I've always had to read ingredients. And, you know, when you encounter a language barrier on top of that, when you're traveling, the fear of getting celiac sick when you're doing a really busy Nike shoot or a big job where you're training thousands of people at one time, you don't have much margin of error. You know, there isn't time to be unwell. And my reaction to wheat is very severe. Like, I can't walk, like, my stomach completely shuts down. So I'm definitely not going to the gym, you know, or like being able to teach a class, because I can't even really stand. So I've always been cognizant of ingredients. I was traveling the world taking protein powder with me at the time, but I was always like, this protein's not that great. Like, to be honest, even in New Zealand, we didn't have a great option at the time for me to use. So when I moved to the States, I just became much more privy to what I thought food quality was, and transparency with supplements and transparency with food in general. And I was pretty disturbed, and I felt my body not feel as great as New Zealand. New Zealand has very strict rules on products and food, and, you know, your body does feel incredible there. So I undertook the exercise because people would ask me all the time for a protein recommendation. I was like, honestly, I don't have one that I like really love. Or the products that I did love, their packaging and their brand was so bad. And then any of the few brands where the packaging and branding was good, the product was awful. And, you know, such a lack of transparency around ingredients. So I thought, you know, what if I made my own protein? And like, I'm from New Zealand. We have the best dairy in the world. We are known for our clean reputation. I'm a huge proponent of whey protein isolate. It is the premium form of protein. And then we obviously saw this like plant-based revolution for quite some time. And, you know, there is no disrespect to people if you are plant-based, but a plant-based protein is not a premium form of protein and often has many more ingredients, plus, you know, higher lead levels or things like that, just from the whey and the ingredients that are being used. So I wanted to highlight what I believe people should have is protein, but give them a clean source. Like, hey, maybe you're sensitive to dairy, but a whey protein isolate essentially has all the lactose removed. So my entire philosophy around Madoff was, let's make a really clean protein that's very high quality, no unnecessary ingredients, and it's transparent and like people can consume with utmost confidence. And it actually says that on our bag, like in the serving instructions, which I think is cute because that's all I want, is people to feel confident with the choices they make. And then the name itself, Made Of, the whole point was trying to teach people what their food is made of, from protein and beyond, because everyone was obsessed with reading the nutritional table values and never reading the ingredients. And they'd be like, oh yeah, I eat this because it hits all my macros and blah, blah. And I said, did you read the ingredients? It's like full of crap that you don't need in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly telling people what your product is made of. Of course, I think having this idea is just the start, because making that idea into a product is a whole journey. So how did you start approaching actually bringing this product to reality?
So we had to do, I have a custom formula that's my own. I was really particular around the flavors. I only have chocolate and vanilla. I do not want to have strawberry cheesecake or peanut butter cup or any of that. I have no interest. If those are your flavor profiles, I'm sorry, this brand is not for you. So I was testing, you know, nailing the formula was very important to me, because I was like, hey, if I'm going to put this product out there and do all this work, like, it needs to be something I'm super proud of. It needs to digest well, it needs to taste good, and it needs to be as honest as we claim that it is. And so we spent, you know, from 2016 to 2018 getting the product right, and then we launched in 2018. Now, what was amazing was launching a business can be so daunting, and then using Shopify truly simplifies so much of the scary stuff, which is really exciting. So for a product like mine, it was more about having the production and the manufacturing and, you know, sourcing the whey from New Zealand and getting everything dialed. But then in terms of selling to the consumer, once you've got that website and turn it on, that part's so easy, you know, and it's been really awesome to see the difference on how we use Shopify and how our business can evolve from 2018 to now in 2025, you know, since we first launched.
So happy to hear that. And even listening to your process, right, the 2 years in development, that's just one sentence, but I know that that must have been such a journey in itself. What was it like, you know, approaching different manufacturers and production partners and actually keeping yourself motivated for those 2 years?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a journey, because a lot of protein is white labeled. So brands actually don't even have their own formula. They just pay a manufacturer and they white label something else and they package it up in their own packaging. And that's totally fine. You know, if that's the way that people want to do it, it's beyond the protein industry. A lot of companies do it with skincare and supplements. But it was very important to me that we had a product that I had control over, in a sense of knowing exactly what was in it, because of that transparency, that honesty that I wanted with our consumer. And also because, you know, I have my own personal reputation within fitness and the wellness industry. So trust is really important too, with me being linked to it. And so it took a few tries. The first manufacturer we launched with was not my dream. We actually weren't a New Zealand grass-fed whey at first, in the first testing realm. And then that was the most important piece for me. I was like, I'm from New Zealand. That's the entire point. I'm not going to negotiate on that. So went back to the drawing board, refined again, and then actually partnered with someone who got it. And once I started working with him, he was like, you know, I just am so grateful that you care this much, because no one cares. And that's the thing. It's like, it's about money for a lot of people. Whereas for me, I'm like, sure, I would love for this business to continue to grow and be something amazing, but nothing makes my day more than people saying, they're like, oh my gosh, like, I used to always skip breakfast and now I have Madoff every morning and I feel so much better. You know, for me, it's about that transfer of the feeling that you can give people and the confidence you can give them.
I'm also curious about just moving from working in the fitness personal training space into a product-based founder, because I think when you work with a client one-on-one, you can see right away that they're enjoying themselves and you can see the results that they get. But this is like a much longer feedback loop and there's much more complexities. So how did you adjust yourself?
I think what was really lucky was, so in New Zealand, I used to have many jobs at the same time while I was working in fitness, but I worked in brand marketing as a brand manager for a fitness company. So I used to lead up high intensity, immersive fitness, and children's fitness. So I was used to kind of looking at product in a sense of it was a digital product or it was an experience that people were having in the gym because we used to sell that fitness programming to other gyms around the world. So I sort of had that experience with marketing, but having a physical and tangible product, especially something people are going to ingest, is an entirely different ballgame, you know? And it's really scary. And there's a lot of times, you know, you want to have a breakdown. There were many phone calls to my dad. And, you know, I think what's amazing about having your own business is you will learn so many things. Like I always say that having this business has taught me more than my degrees, and it's taught me more than so many other exercises in my life, because you have to know dedication, patience, grit. You got to keep resilience. Like your feelings are going to get hurt now and then. You're going to have, I've had an entire production run one time get destroyed because whey absorbs scent, you know, and we were sold out, and in the same production facility, there was a pre-workout being made. Every round of production we do, I sign off the sample because I'm so particular about it being consistent. And that is my biggest anxiety-inducing experience. It's like once or twice a year, depending on how many production runs we're doing. And I was like, oh, this tastes like tutti frutti. Like, I don't understand. And the entire production run was unusable. So it's discarded, you know, and it, luckily it wasn't on my dime, but it was in a sense because it meant then we were sold out for even longer. You're waiting in the production run. You know, you have things like lead times for ordering bags, ordering scoops, ordering the tape for the boxes. And a lot of the time things don't line up. And what I'm really fortunate for is I have a group chat with two of my other friends who are founders called Money Moves. And it's, yeah, Rocky's Matcha, and I know you've spoken with Rocky, who's my best friend, and, you know, Melanie from Gia, and I am just so thankful for the support group of, like, troubleshooting, talking about it, having someone to be like, oh my gosh, guys, would you believe what happened? And then they're like, oh, you know, having people that get it, because a lot of your other friends, if they haven't had to go through these exercises, they don't get it. So I think that's what's really amazing these days is with so many other people being founders and having their own, you know, you have this own little community as well of the business owners to talk through some of those things, or even when you're sad, someone gave a bad review, or, you know, because it feels personal. It feels, I always say that Madoff is my son and my firstborn, and I
love it.
Yeah, I really care so much. So that part can be hard sometimes, but truly it's really rewarding when, like I say, if someone tells you that the product like changed the way they feel about themselves, you can't ask for more than that.
The reason why you pay attention to all of those details is because you care. And I know that it translates to the customer as well. When you initially launched, because you are someone of influence, and I think because there's so much trust that you build from your reputation, was it hard to start talking about a product that you created? Because it feels like it's a sensitive area when someone starts to create something that they're trying to sell.
Yeah, I think it's like a difficult negotiation with yourself in a way. You know, like I'm very sensitive to that sales pitch type person. And I think, you know, there's just so much toxic enlightenment in the wellness industry already, and like people pushing something on you. And to the point that I would almost not talk about Madoff enough or push it enough because, and sometimes people would say, oh, I didn't realize that was your brand. They're like, you need to talk about it way more. And the more I actually leaned into that and just talking about how I personally use it, my favorite recipes or tips and tricks, and I realized that me being honest about it isn't transactional, because I'm answering all these questions to people anyway about gym gear and style and, you know, makeup and skincare. So I'm like, why wouldn't I be allowed to talk about a product I genuinely use every day?
Being open about what you're building is also fascinating as well. There's so many people who are interested in how founders are building their business as well.
Yeah. And I think even it's like staying true to what this is. This is the whey protein isolate company. So people are always like, are you going to make a plant-based protein? I'm like, no, it's not on my vision board, honestly, because I'm really dialed on this. And to be honest, for us to make a plant-based protein, I'm going to have to negotiate on a lot of the things that I don't want to negotiate on, like a lot more ingredients and, you know, things that I don't love being in a protein. So I think it's been really like nice to just sort of stay like focused on the mission, focused on what it is that you really care about, because you see a lot of brands expand and layer on a lot of products and it kind of gets away from the point. Sometimes it's amazing, you know, like I'm always dying for another product from some of my favorite makeup brands or whatever. But I think what's amazing about Made Of is it doesn't need to be different. Like this is such a great product. So yeah, it can be different. Like we could make different serving sizes of, you know, travel packs or whatever. Maybe we can introduce another flavor here and there, but this is our core product.
It's the consistency and the trust that you have in the consistency that makes it special.
Yes. Yeah. I always say like, I love using the word consistency in general because, you know, that translates so well to fitness anyway. It's like consistency is the biggest driver of your success with anything. And, you know, consistently taking a product, consistently showing up for yourself, you know, it sort of creates, I think what I love about a routine is it creates all these really good little like boundaries within your day without you maybe not even realizing it. Like, you know, if you know your morning routine is I get up, I have my Made Of with water or whatever it is, and then I go work out. You know, it's like you set the stage for all these positive things to keep happening through having that consistent morning routine.
I also was wondering about building trust in a service-based business and versus a product-based business, because I think this is what has set you apart. Did you find anything surprising when you're trying to build trust in these two different realms?
Yeah, I guess what's interesting is, you know, on a service-based level, it's much more, you know, not everybody can train with me, you know, like, so I used to teach a lot of classes when I lived in New York. I don't actually actively teach on a timetable anywhere in LA because I am with my private clients in Nike so much. So I think Made Of is like my invitation for people to have a part of me that I care about as much as that energy that I'm putting towards my personal clients, you know? Obviously, I do have an online fitness platform as well called Pyro, but where everyone can work out with me. But I think, yeah, having the trust, I did notice that having built trust with people who do workouts with me, either via Nike, Pyro, or my clients, did translate over into them me launching a product because they were like, well, I trust her implicitly with my body and I have for so long and she's never led me astray. I'm going to trust her with trying this product. However, the one thing is for people that don't know you, there is a little bit of a barrier to entry of, oh, do I want to pay this amount of money to try a product and not know if I'm going to like it? You know, I think we all think that, you know, it's like, that's why we get obsessed with looking at reviews. We get obsessed with looking at, you know, a testimonial from someone else, or it takes someone else that influences us to see like, oh, am I going to buy it? But what's interesting is, you know, we can see spikes in our sales when certain people talk about it. And what's interesting is it doesn't matter if it's someone with millions and millions of followers. For our product, what translates, I spike the most sales always because I guess people trust me, but it's experts. It's like fertility experts. It's digestion specialist experts. It's like nutritionists. And I think, and it's all people speaking about it organically. And that's been really amazing.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting to think about in this space, right? Because you can have celebrity endorsement in this space, but to your point is I probably trust my friends or someone who's a medical expert more because I can understand what they're referencing and I can trust them. What's your philosophy when you're thinking about having people endorse Made Of?
So we've never paid anyone and never done any paid marketing for Made Of ever. and I honestly barely post it on my actual like Instagram feed or anything. And I'm working on that. And, you know, I think what I love is obviously I know that paid marketing really can help amplify a brand, but I think what's been important to me is I don't want it to appear the same way as a lot of these other brands I see in wellness, even though they're doing amazingly. They have such an icky feeling to me of how transactional it is. And a lot of them very much lean on this before and after mentality of like, you looked like this and now you look like this because you took our product. And I'm like, well, first of all, your product doesn't even have enough in it to substantiate the claims that you make about it. That's point one. But point two, you've paid someone to say this, and then you've paid to market behind it. So then there's another layer of trust stripped away. And I don't like the idea of playing on someone's insecurity of, oh, I don't feel comfortable about how I look. And then I see an ad and then I'm going to buy something out of kind of a desperation to make change. I want people to buy made of out of a like decision to be motivated or a decision to like change something about their daily routine or like show up for their body in a different way. But I don't want it to be like a manipulation, if that makes sense. And listen, maybe that's not the smartest business advice because I see a lot of these brands doing amazingly, but my conscience feels clean.
Yeah. Well, I think what's incredible is the way this product in itself, the model in itself is if the product is good, people will come back. And that's what brings in the lifetime value. And I think almost ads maybe even hurt the space because I do care more about someone recommending it to me. So I think having that butterfly effect of people just having word of mouth is like the ultimate goal. So
yeah, that's the dream. And like, you know, I think it's amazing. We have so many different like ways that people can share links or share everything these days. It's definitely a lot easier if you have a brand than, you know, think prior to social media and all these other platforms and apps that make it so much easier to have a business and for someone to discover your product, ideally.
How are you, I guess, like balancing everything, also leveling up, taking on more responsibilities while you have all of these different sides of different businesses running at the same time?
Well, I've recently learned about delegating because as an A-type Leo, I hated delegating and I was so bad at it to the point, you know, there's been times where I'm on Hawaii doing a filmed fitness job and I'm in my hotel room at 10 p.m. and I'm fulfilling orders. Like the way that we would have to do orders in New Zealand is that I would have to email the orders to my dad. My dad is fulfilling them from the warehouse of his company. And then he's sending me back the tracking numbers and then I'm manually inputting them. And I'm like, this is not how this needs to be set up. But I was just really wanted to be able to have the product available in New Zealand as well and making it happen. And I think, again, it touches back onto what I said earlier about when it's your own business, the things you will do, you know, to like make stuff happen. What I'm doing now is I have someone work on customer service. I have someone taking over the social media. I have, you know, I can't be posting on all these channels all the time. It's just, I'm not going to be the best at it. I don't have the bandwidth. So I've really had to learn I need to outsource if I want to grow this business. But one thing I will never outsource is I am going to be the quality controller of the product. I am going to make the decisions on things that like the language of the brand. Like I sign off every single email marketing campaign that goes out, you know, just to our subscribers. And it's very important that that language stays true to the brand, true to me, how something I would be proud to say. And so I think it's like a level, right, of being able to delegate, but not delegating so much that you lose like you lose the trust of the consumer or you lose the like essence of the brand. Cause I think a lot of the essence of the brand is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to spend your energy where it matters. I'm also curious because, you know, within fitness, when you are working out or, you know, focus on your fitness journey, it's important to work hard, but it's also important to have those rest days. So how are you incorporating rest and balance while you're also balancing so much?
You mean from a business lens or like with the company or just in general?
In general, yeah, because I think that is also very important. You could only go further when you recharge.
100%. I recently went to Hoffman. I don't know if you've heard of the Hoffman Institute.
I wanted to ask about this. I'm so curious. Yes.
Because I think we were trying to schedule the podcast around some of that. It was amazing. I'd always thought about going and then something in the early this year, I was like, you know what? Like, I think it's time. Something hadn't pulled in me in the past when I'd wanted to go, but it hadn't made me finally commit. And so I went. And I think what was amazing was I thoroughly enjoyed being off my phone for like 8 days. I put full trust into everyone that I had to run my businesses at the time. And I was like, you know what? Like, there was maybe a little bit of fear when you turn off your phone and hand it over to someone and you're like, okay, I'm not going to be able to micromanage anything for a week or 8 days. And it was that dissipated pretty quickly. And I think it gave me a new boundary around the way that I'm always available for people. I'm not always available now. I'm actually like, I have to honor my own energy so much because my job requires so much output from me and so much energy and so much. I'm on all the time. And in order to be that on, I have to tap out and be very off in other moments when I can. So like I've tried to clean up the way that I schedule, clean up like some of my availabilities for work, including the, you know, clients and some other things, and just honor also like I don't need to train last every time of the day. Like I actually can train sometimes when I want to train because my body is also important because I'm on film all the time. So I shouldn't be the last priority every single day. And then now I've learned a lot more. I'm like, these businesses of mine are my legacy. You know, they're not less important than these jobs that I have at the moment. These are actually the things that can really change and shape my future. So yeah, there's going to be some days where I say to my clients, hey, I can't see anyone today. I need to stay at home and lock in on Madoff and Pyro. And I love that. And I like really cherish those days. And it's not because I don't love being with my clients or being somewhere else. It's just that I feel much better about like taking care of my business and thinking forward about my future.
Yeah. And prioritizing yourself as well.
Yes.
We've chatted through so many chapters of your career and your business journey, and the market is always changing and expanding. What are you excited about both personally and for the businesses that you run?
I'm really excited to keep, I've been feeling an itch to like take a leap of faith lately and like get uncomfortable again. And I think it's really important to get uncomfortable. You know, I launched my own fitness platform last year, end of October, start of November. And oh my gosh, I think for a week, I just felt nauseous. Like I was just so on edge. Even my friends were like, what is going on with her? And because usually I'm very good at masking things and I was just losing it. I felt so vulnerable. I felt so scared and nervous, which was crazy because I've been filming fitness like my entire career. But I think it was a great like leap. And it was, and then, you know, once I got out of the weeds of how nerve-wracking that was, I've been able to like really start enjoying it. So now I'm like looking for that next change with Madoff and like really seriously going after the business. Like we have such a great product. We have such great retention. So I want to keep world building around this. We are adding some products and expanding, but it will still always be very based off our whey isolate. So I feel really excited about that. And yeah, I just think the next 5 years for me is all about growth in terms of like taking some of those risks. I'm always eager to learn. I'm always like, I love connecting with other business people and hearing their stories and hearing all the unseen things that happen too. But I just feel like it's time to get uncomfortable again, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting. And I look forward to the next summit that you'll climb. So very grateful to have you here, Kirsty.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you, honestly, for being like the only other employee. I used to say, I was like, oh, it's just me and Shopify working on this.
Oh, that's so cute. I love it.
It's always been my favorite app. I would give up every other app before Shopify, including Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our show is produced by Gogo Zoger and Alicia Clark. Our engineers are Miku Betlam and Matt Schwartz, and I'm your host, Shuang Esther Shan. We are here every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts, plus on YouTube with video episodes. So go check those out. We will catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in.